Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We shall, we will, we must rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you today for joining me on this National Day of Prayer. You know, the word that God gave me this morning is, I, in God, I have put my trust. In God, I have put my trust. We have to put our trust in God because God is the absolute in our life. When we pray in Jesus' name. We pray to God in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to start a little different. Normally we end with our prayer from our 365 prayer for life, but today we're going to start with our today. I just want to say thank you, Father God, for this do-over. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with breath in our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us another opportunity for a do-over. For, Lord God, you made this day. You blessed this day. You gave us another day. So, Father God, on this day of prayer, we walk within your walls. And it says, within the walls we walk. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. 122nd Psalm, verse 7. Mighty one, you are my strong, the one I run to for refuge in times of trouble. You keep me settled with peace as the atmosphere within my home. I invite you into the dwelling of my heart. Keep me safe and secure. Wrap me in the warmth of your mighty love. I know that there is no need to fear, for you are with me. You are the defender of my soul. Nothing can destroy my heart with you as its guard. Even when storms are raging around me, I will experience your rest. I will sleep peacefully, knowing I am taken care of. Hallelujah! I trust that your keen eye sees everything that would dare sneak into the camp of my heart. Keep me alert as I rest in you. I know that even when an enemy comes into the camp, I have everything I need to confidently deal with it. You are with me, my peace giver, and I dwell in the security that your love brings. Father God, as we get ready to go into your word this morning, I lift up this prayer for those that are seeking more of you, that the insecurity of life that holds us hostage, Lord, I ask you to remove all insecurity. I ask you to remove anything not like you, Lord God, as you give us peace, knowing that you said in your word you will never leave us or forsake us. Father God, we stand on your word today on this day of prayer. We pray for peace in our world, oh God, not just our nations, but in our world, oh God. But we need a world to just have a day of rest from war, a day of rest from famine, a day of rest from unrest. You know everybody's heart. You know their mind. You know their spirit. You know everything about, you know, who's light, who's dark, who are wolves in sheep clothing, and who are sheep being led to slaughter. Lord, you know each and every one of our hearts. You know our minds. You know what wakes us up in the middle of the night. You know what gives us peaceful sleep. Father God, I pray for grieved women today. I pray for the widows. I pray for the widower. I pray for the orphan. I pray for the homeless and the helpless. Father God, I lift up our planet today and pray, Lord God, that you will clean our planet's atmosphere, that we will breathe better, rest better, and that you are in charge of everything. Father God, I pray for all leaders of the world, the good, the bad, and the downright ugly, that you would give them clean hearts and right spirits within them, that they would think of others besides themselves. And Lord, I pray for those that feel like they're doing what's right when they're doing what's wrong. I pray, Lord God, for our children, the born and the unborn. Lord, I pray for each unborn to breathe the breath of life. And I pray for the mothers that carry them. Father God, I pray that those that think it's their right to meddle in people's health and life, that they take some self-evaluation before they make laws to benefit themselves and then care nothing about what comes into this world. Father God, I pray for politicians who claim to be against abortion, they yet have no heart for the children once they arrive in this world. The same ones that vote against helping those that are helpless, helping those women that bring those babies into this world, who have the guts to say, I'm going to keep my child. But then those same politicians who are always meddling in everybody's business but don't want anybody to look into their darkness. So you look at them and you give them hearts of compassion to help those mothers and babies once those brave women bring them into this world, to care about others besides their own rich selves. Because your word tells us that a rich man will make it into heaven like a camel through the eye of a needle. Lord God, give all the trillion and billionaires and millionaires hearts of compassion to help those that are helpless and to help those that are in need. Lord God, you know everything. You see everything. You see how these young people are struggling, how people in their 60s through the loans that they've had since they were in their 20s. Lord, you see everything. You know how this world has been greedy and vicious and awful to those that cannot help themselves. Father, I lift up the homeless today. I lift them up with a special prayer of your loving arms around them, oh God, that they find shelter and everything they need, oh God, because there by your grace could go any one of us. Some are only a paycheck away from homelessness. Some are only a ride away from helplessness. Father, I pray for those with mental illness today. And I lift them up, Lord, that you will remove those spirits that attack their mind, God. That you remove the spirits that attack their minds, God. Lord God, I pray for the depressed and those that live in that dark place, feeling that they have no one there for them. Father God, I pray that they see the light of Jesus to know that they are never alone because you are with them. Father God, as I lift up pastors today, asking you, Father, to bless them as they bring forth messages from you, Lord. Lord, let them be in the spirit and not in the flesh. Father God, as I lift up today on this day of prayer, all those in need, Lord God, I pray that this word that goes forth this morning, that it be a balm in Gilead for someone's soul to know that they can trust in you, God, that I put my trust in you, God, that we put our trust in you, God, that we trust in you, God, for you are Alpha and Omega. You are beginning. You are end. You are everything. So, God, I lift this word up to you this morning, asking you to increase as I decrease. Lord God, I ask you to hide me in behind your wings in the cliff of the rock as you remove all flesh and replace with your spirit, that this word will go forth, that someone will ask, what must I do to be saved, and do not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I thank you, Jesus, for being my personal Savior. I thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for me. I thank you, Jesus, for rising again as you have taken my sins to the grave. Father God, and Savior, 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 Holy Spirit, I lift this word up, giving it to you, Lord, and asking you to increase as I decrease. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and redeemer, Father God. And I thank you for a new day. And I pray this day is better than the last. In Jesus' name, amen. On this day of prayer, family, a word to think about is, when is the last, I pray you feel peace today. As we go through our word this morning, let this word touch your heart. For God is in it. And when God is in it, there is no limit. We must pray for our world today, lifting up those that are in need today. Let not today just be one national day of prayer. Let today be a beginning for every day to be a day of prayer for you and yours. And as we start this morning, we are coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 12 through chapter 13, verse 23. We are also, our word for the day, our title word is coming out of the 56th Psalm, verses 1 through 13. We will also be reading Proverbs chapter 15, verses 21 through 23, and Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 71. And let's get started in our word this morning. And our word of God says, now Samuel said to all Israel, indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me, and I made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed. I understand that one. Because I am older. I'm not saying, oh, I'm older and gray-headed. And I will say I earn every gray hair on my head. And I thank God for them. Because it's wisdom. God knows that we all have to have it. And it goes on to tell us in our word, old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. And they said, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. And Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now, therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers when Jacob had gone into Egypt, and your fathers cried out to the Lord. that the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hagar, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and Asherah. But now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jephthah, Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. And when you saw that Naash, king of the Amorites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us. Was the Lord your God was your king? Now, therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you. It was against your fathers. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in acting a king for yourself. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Again, be careful what you ask for. We got to trust in God. We got to put our trust in God. We don't need kings. We don't need presidents. We don't need any leaders with fallible man hearts when we have God. Because when you trust God, everything falls into place when you want it to. But it will always fall into place right on time. God will not give you more than you can handle. God will not give you more than you can bear. I believe that in my heart. I'm not going to just say it. I believe it. And I'm thanking God right now for the harvest. I'm thanking God right now for the fruition of the seeds I've sown. I'm thanking God right now for his blessings. I'm thanking God right now for his grace. I'm thanking God right now for his mercy. I'm thanking God right now for a clean heart and a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God. And the word of God says in Samuel chapter 12, verse 19, and all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servant. There it is. Pray. Prayer changes things. On this national day of prayer, pray. Pray and pray some more. All my prayer warriors out there, pray for the widows. Pray for the orphans. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your churches. Pray for the people of God to be clear of mind and have right spirit. Pray for the leaders to care about the people that put them in office. Pray that dictators would quit trying to dictate everybody's business and mind their own. Ooh, pray for all of us. We need prayer. And as the word says, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, but we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves, wanting to be like the Joneses, wanting to be like everybody else, Israel, just like people, just like us today. Folks wanting to be like the Kardashians and be like this person and that person. I want to be like Mike. No, we don't. We want to be like who we are, children of God. Be you. Don't try to look like this person or that person. Try to be who you're not. Just be you. God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. Just be you. Then Daniel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things, which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only God, the Lord, can serve him in truth with all your heart, for considering what great things he has done for you. But if you will do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Chapter 13, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. Now all Israel heard it say that Saul had attacked a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul in Gilgal. Then the Philistines gathered together chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sea which is on the seashore is multiplied. And they came up and encamped at Michmash to the east of Benjamin. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and ditches. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling when he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering. This is where Saul messes up. This is where Saul loses his kingship. This is where Saul messed up, because he forgot to just stand still and wait on the Lord. Instead, he took things into his own hands and decided to do something that he will regret for the rest of his kingship. And let's read and see what happens. Starting again at verse 7. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gath and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished sending the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. But now the Lord would have established established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with him, about 600 men. Saul, Jonathan, his son, and the people present with them remained in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped at Michmash. Then the raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned onto the road to Ophrah, to the land of Shaul. Another company turned to the road to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the road of the border that overlooked the valley of Zebulun toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, "Let the Hebrews make swords of spears." But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each part, each man's plowshare, his mattock, his axe, and his sickle. And the charge for sharpening was a tin for the plowshare, the mattock, the forks, and the axes, and to set the points of the board. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan his son. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. In some life lessons and questions for this word this morning, is this the first life lesson? Comes from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 3. Whom have I cheated? Integrity, the consuming desire to acknowledge and obey the Father in conjunction with a readiness to confess and repent of sin, testifies to our private and public behavior. Integrity leaves no ground for accusation. That is so true. We have got to have integrity. Always. 1 Samuel 22 and 21. Do not turn aside, but then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, but they are nothing. Then do we go after empty things that can neither bless nor deliver us? Even if we get these things, we end up with precisely nothing. And I can speak on that. However, we have a God who loves us, reveals himself to us, and communicates with us. He never forsakes us when we seek him. That's why intimacy with God should always be our highest priority. And sometimes we take ourselves into debt trying to help others, and they don't even appreciate it. And never once do they try to repay you. I care if they ever repay you, because they didn't appreciate the blessing. But all we do is we say, "Lord, I give it to you. You know what I need. I did what I did from my heart. And Lord, I know that your blessings come for what we do to help others." Don't worry about if somebody pays you back. Don't worry about whatever happened in your life. It is done. It's under the bridge. Get over it and move forward. That's what you have to do. Get over it, move forward. And as we continue in our word, this is a question that we have. What does the Bible say to lonely people? And as we get ready to come up on Mother's Day, there are many out there who have lost parents that do not have children. They will never be mothers. And they have not a mother. We pray for them. Because everybody's getting all their stuff together, sending out their gifts, sending out their cards, sending out everything they can for the moms in their life. But what we have to do is pray for those that are lonely. Reach out to somebody today that you know wanted to be a mom and cannot be a mom. Reach out to those foster parents. Reach out to those grandparents. Reach out to those that you know are raising children that are not their own, but loving them as if they are. And this is what the word says. Time and again, this is what Dr. Stanley puts in this word for us to just think about. Time and again, throughout the Old Testament, we find the Lord reaching out to his people, revealing himself to them, desiring to be with them and to communicate with them. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22, we find this promise of God. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. God desires companionship, fellowship, and communion with those who will reciprocate his expression of friendship. I am a friend of God is one of my favorite songs. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, that you love me? It's amazing. It's amazing that God loves us like that, that we are never, ever alone. When you're going through your darkest, know you're never alone, that Daddy God is with you and that he loves you. You're never alone because you're his friend. You have been grafted into his family. He is your Father God. I think this word is just for me as well. And Dr. Stanley goes on to say, we can count on the close communion of the Lord even if everyone else abandons us. We see this in the life of Jesus. On the very night he was arrested and put on trial, trial that led to his crucifixion, he said to his disciples, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. Can you hear the pain in that statement? Jesus knew what it was to be lonely. But then he said, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. John 16:32. Jesus knew what it was to be comforted even in the face of abandonment. When loneliness engulfs us, the first thing we must do is to turn our focus away from what we don't have to what we do have. What do we have, you may ask? God himself. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We can never be alone once you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He promises that he dwells within you when you have received him into your life, and that he's connected to you. Just as a vine and a branch are connected, in the same way the sap flows through the vine and its branches, so too the love of God flows in you and through you. He abides in you, and you abide in him. You are one being with Christ. You share with him the most intimate relationship possible, an eternal spiritual intimacy. Ooh, the depth of that intimacy to a great extent is up to you. How much do you desire that? How much do you allow him to fill you up with his presence? How willing are you for him to reveal himself to you? Even so, you can never totally isolate yourself from the Lord. He is always there, designed to move ever closer to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God wants to be with me. He wants to be my friend. He wants to be my Father. He wants to be my strength when I'm weak. He wants to be, whew, that warm hug on a cold night. We got to know who our Father is. I just thank God this morning that he loves me like that. Even in my mess, he loves me, because he says, from your mess, my daughter, I would give a message. Hallelujah. We got to know what we're going through is for a purpose and a reason. God's got a blessing with your name on it. I claim my blessing in Jesus' name. And that blessing is salvation. Thank you, Lord. Another life lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people. Even before Samuel had anointed David as the next king of Israel, even before Samuel had met the boy, the Lord had commanded David to lead Israel. God has a plan for us long before we see it. And even though David had to wait a long time to become king, he trusted that God always works on behalf of those who wait for him. Are you waiting on God today? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you believing God today? Are you trusting in him today? Psalm 56, the 56th Psalm, verses 1 through 13. To the chief musician, said to the silent dove in distant lands, a victim of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. Hallelujah. Our word for today, in God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the people of God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, when my enemies will turn back, this I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Hallelujah! Ooh, David know that man could write. Ooh, hallelujah. He was a praiser. In God, I have put my trust. That's what David said, and that it should be our lament today. In God, I have put my trust. Don't worry. In God, I have put my trust. Don't fear. In God, I have put my trust. Put your trust in the Lord today. On this day of prayer, give supplication to God. In God, I put, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. The psalmist does not say, if something ever scares me. He says, whenever I'm afraid, fear is a natural human reaction to danger. God does not tell us to ignore our fears, but to bring them to him. In God, I put my trust. Proverbs 15, verses 21 through 23. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go away, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Hallelujah. Are you speaking the word this morning? Are you trusting in God today? Put your trust in God. Ooh, what a word. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 22, verse 40-71. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, and you did not try to seize me, but is your hour in the power of darkness. He said, when I was with you every day, you didn't try to seize me. But now in the cover of darkness, here you come. Let's keep it moving. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. For about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? And many other things they blasphemed. Elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hear therefore, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? So he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. We're waiting to pounce. We're waiting to get him. Can't get him in the temple, so we'll wait. And maybe one of his folk will be a defector. One of his folk will get him for us. One, they were after Christ, but they didn't understand that his death was his assignment, that all of our wickedness, including their wickedness and their sins, he took them all to the cross. He took it all to the cross. He paid it all. Up on the cross, it was Morgan said, he bled and died because I was lost. So here I am, surrendering it all. On my knees I fall. He paid it all. Hallelujah. And just to go back to our proverb, a life lesson, without counsel, plans go weary, but in the multitude of counsels, they are established. Because none of us has an unlimited perspective. We need to invite multiple viewpoints outside of our own to inform our most important decisions and plans. God often uses the perspective of others to show us real. I'm going to read that again. God often uses the perspective of others to show us his will. So don't get all upset if someone gives you constructive criticism. Don't get upset if somebody kind of tells you that you could do this better or that better. Just try to do better. Don't get upset when someone is just trying to help you. They're just trying to help you be better. Trust in God and know that everything works out for your good because you love trust. And our last life lesson for this word for this morning is this. Luke chapter 22, verse 61. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. What kind of look was it? A look that said, I told you so. One that expressed compassion, disappointment, resignation, sorrow. We don't know. We only know that Jesus used it to remind Peter of his prophetic words. And that look, kind of looking at you and like, when you do wrong, shaking his head. When you do right, smiling at you. Giving you a thumbs up. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But Peter was looking at a face that said, maybe all of those things. I told you so. Compassion. Disappointment. Resignation. Sorrow. God did it. And then it goes on to tell us in this word, we don't know. We only know that Jesus used it to remind Peter of his prophetic word. And that look caused Peter to weep. We don't want to make our Savior cry today. So love on somebody. Let your family know, I love you. And I thank God for you. And I pray for you. You pray for me. I pray for you. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. You got to have I need you to supply in our spirit today. As you go through your words, continue to pray. Continue to believe that all things work for good because we are working for God. And before we get out of here today, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And our word for this today is this. And I have not got a word from Sister Carolyn this morning, which is unusual, but we all understand Sister Carolyn got a job. And so she goes to work just like we all do. But anyway, what I got, I prayed this morning for us. But I'll just give a word from my Bible. This is a scripture that was sent to me this morning. It's Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So again, family, on this thankful Thursday, on this trusting in God Thursday, I say to you, be anxious for nothing, but in every key word, that's your word for today, prayer. But prayer changes everything. Just keep believing. by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I have one more thing. One more thing that I get every day that I'm just going to share with you this morning. And it's just another word of prayer. Because God is good. And he loves us like that. So just remember, as you go through your day, that you are children of God. And that God loves you more than anything. This is from Dr. Stanley from In Touch Ministries. And it's just a word that says, only the Holy Spirit can enable us to fulfill God's two greatest commandments. And those commandments are this. Jesus said the two greatest commandments are these. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What an overwhelming assignment. In our own strength, we will find success out of reach. But the Lord has provided a way to Christians to accomplish the impossible. The indwelling Holy Spirit works to produce his fruit in us. Galatians 5:22-23. The first quality listed is love. And the remaining eight are actually descriptions of how it is conveyed. Love is produced by trying harder to muster goodwill towards someone who is irritating or hard to get along with. Instead, think of the process more like sap running through a branch on a grapevine. In a similar way, the Spirit flows through us in God's love so we can express it to him and to others. Whenever we demonstrate kindness, patience, or gentleness, it's God's doing, not ours. Even though adoration we offer him isn't something we produce in our own heart apart from existence. Though the command is to love is enormous, God's grace makes it possible. And I just say to this, God loves you. When you trust in the Lord, everything else falls into place. Love God today. And as we get ready to get out of here this morning, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. And this is from today's prayer, and it's a prayer I get every morning. It says, good morning, Bridget. Here's today's prayer. This prayer is from National Day of Prayer. Please join together to pray for the nation. And it's the 2022 theme is Exalt the Lord, who has established us based upon Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And just join me in prayer. Dear Lord God, we exalt you. We are filled with awe and wonder as our praise joins the heavenly host, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6 and 3. You have established your throne in heaven and the foundation of the earth. You alone are the creator. The earth is yours, and all it contains is for you. Glory is for your glory. You created and established all of us as your image bearers. May our lips and lives continually praise you and magnify you in all our words and ways. You are the author of our days. You have established your plans and purpose for us. We respond to your glory and authority in obedience to your word and will. You have established prayer that we, your children, can communicate with our Heavenly Father, direct and strengthening and discipline us in your everlasting love. We join the heavens activities as we lift up our prayers and pour out our praise, repentance, thanks, intercession, and supplication. Lord, you have established our nation through the hearts of our founding fathers and the documents they penned, declaring our dependence on your sovereignty and supremacy. We overflow with gratitude, having been firmly rooted and built up in your faith, in our faith in you. Let our reputation be of our faith in Christ alone, our love for all people, and fruitful lives bearing the altitude, who dwells and works within us and through us. We pray for our nation, the church family, education, military, workplace, government, arts, entertainment, and media. United in your love, we exalt the Lord who has established us. In Jesus' name, we always pray. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for this prayer. Thank you, Father, for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty Father. Thank you, Prime Time with God Devotional, for this devotional prayer this morning. Thank you, the 365 Days of Prayer for Life author and those that have worked with us. I thank Dr. Stanley, and I thank Israel Houghton for the theme, and I thank all of you for just being who you are, those that love God and love and appreciate his word. I thank you all. And as we leave today, I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family. And remember, on this special day, pray some more. Pray without ceasing. Find your place. Take your knee. And keep knowing that God is in charge of everything. And he loves you. If there's anyone before we get out of here that has a word of God, I would like to pray. Now's the time to push the number one on your phone as we, and you may be the one to pray us out if God has put prayer on your heart. We have about a minute left. If there is no one that would like to pray or God has not put it on your heart to push the number one, I'll call 213-943-3597. Our prayer is to God, thanking him again today. But this is the day that he has made, and we are rejoicing and praising him and giving him honor, glory. But this is God's day, and I am God. I have put my trust. Thank you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.